Sometimes we're going to be stuck in the midst of our circumstances, and even though we might still get out of jail physically, we may still be in jail spiritually. But when we have God as the focus, delighting in Him, being in His presence, enjoying everything that He is about and every good purpose under heaven He has for our lives and our future, that's where everything becomes transformed. Let that be our focus. Let it be Him, His glory, His honour, that we delight to be in His presence. But He said just before that, the verse just before that, in fact, three verses before that, He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid?" He said, when evil people come to devour me, when enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. He says, though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even in this situation, He says, I will remain confident. Why? It's because our hearts are focused and centered in Him. Psalm 27, verse 3, it says, in this I will be confident. May there just be a sense of God confidence rising up on the inside of us. You know, the devil might try to take your calling from you. He might try to tell you that you are not up to the challenge and up to everything that God has purposed under heaven for your life and for your future. It was so good to see Ollie take that step this morning. That was so very cool. But who knows, the enemy doesn't like seeing us take steps forward in Him. And we need to rise up no matter what the circumstances around us tell us, no matter what the devil tries to speak into our life. In this, I will be confident because God is the strength of my life. Is that right? The Lord is the strength of my life. You may be seated. I'm going to be sharing about confidence and looking at the book of Hebrews and chapter 10. And being called the book of Hebrews, it was written to a predominantly Jewish audience, people of Hebrew background. And Paul the Apostle was helping them to deal with an identity crisis. They had grown up with Jewish traditions that told them all of their lives, if you want to get stuff right with God, you have to obey a whole heap of rules and regulations. In fact, he starts off in chapters 1 and going forward from there, talking about who was Jesus in relation to their journey. And firstly, he starts off saying, well, Jesus is better than angels. So firstly, let's get in some context about who it was that Jesus is, or who it is that Jesus is. But then continues on to say, speaking about Jesus in relation to the laws and the rules and the regulations that they had been following up to that point in time. They were considering that their identity as followers after God was all founded in their ability to keep the rules and the regulations, or back then they used to call it the law. If you could keep all the regulations, if you could do everything perfectly right, well then God would be happy with you. You might even get a few, what do they give out at school? They give these little awards, and you get a little gold star and an elephant stamp. I don't know. Anyone ever had any of those things when you were going to school? I don't know. Maybe you got a few red crosses through your work saying that wrong. And we try very hard, even in our school years, trying to get it all right and trying to keep everybody happy. I love Jeremiah. He's the best. Who likes Jeremiah? I love having Jeremiah sitting in the front row. That's so cool. And I love it. He laughs at all of my jokes, even if you don't. And so we can spend a lot of our lives trying to keep all the rules and trying to do everything perfectly right. And then we muck up, we get some things wrong, just like the people in the days of, the writer of Hebrews were. We muck up, we get things that don't go according to plan, and we fail. Then all of a sudden, we're thinking, I have broken the rules. God is not happy with me now. I no longer have God's favor upon my life. And now I've got to earn back His favor again. I've got to work. I've got to do some things in order to get God's approval as I journey forward in life. Do you ever feel like that, or is it just me? The Bible says all have sinned, so everyone in this room, none of you can look there like an angel thinking, oh, not me, I'm an angel. All of us, the Bible says, have sinned. Not a person in this room can stand up and say, I've not sinned. And so if that's true, all of us have been in places, and I suspect on a pretty regular basis for most of us. Would that be true? We know that we muck up, we do the wrong thing. And we know that there is this like gap in our relationship with God. Some things are broken. And we get this sense, if only I can get all those things right and start to work on my life and fix those things up, then I will gain God's approval again so that I can begin to move forward in the call of God. And that's what the devil likes to speak into your spirit and into your life, that you're not good enough, you haven't measured up, you've failed, you've done the wrong thing. And as a result of that, you're inadequate. And until you get your stuff together, God won't be able to use you or do the things in your life and your future that you hope and plan for. And so in chapter 10, the writer, I believe, is actually Paul, is writing the book of Hebrews. That's my personal opinion, and I think the opinion of many people. But the author begins to write and begin to speak about the reality of what Jesus has accomplished, in which ways Jesus is so much better than the old system that they used to live under of rules and regulations, the identity crisis that they once had. Does anyone here have an identity crisis? You know, we get our phones out, do a selfie. I thought about doing something this morning. Who would like to do something super radical? I'm going to do this. This will be a first for me. You ready? Yep, I think Jeremiah's absolutely agreeing. We should absolutely do this. I've got my Instagram thing out, and I wonder how you do a story. Does anyone know how to do a story on Instagram? If I just hold this thing down and start recording. So one of the young guys, how do I press this? It's playing the story that I played last night of the Hopper Night, and that's not what we want. But who knows, we get our phones out, and we try to do, I'll do a selfie. That's what I'll do. Here we go. We're going to do a selfie. And got to get the screen around the right way. And here we are with all of our friends here in the background. And I do a selfie. I'll do a movie. That's what we'll do. Here we go. Here we are doing a selfie here at church, selfie movie. Hello, everybody. If enough people like me, then I'm going to be okay. Everyone's going to approve of me. They're going to like me, and they're going to say, this is amazing. If I only get one like, and that just happens to be my mum, I'm going to be the saddest person on the planet. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Who knows? We sometimes have problems with our confidence, a crisis of confidence, because our identity is found in the likes and other people's approval, whether we think we've ticked enough boxes, whether we've got the right clothes. Do you like this? I've got a nice glows in the dark. Mate, can we turn the lights off and see if there's glows in the dark? I don't know. Maybe we won't. You can see glowing in the dark, can you? We think if we're wearing the right clothes, we've got the right hairdo. I got less hairdos I can do now, so I'm in trouble. Maybe I should grow one of those big beards. That somehow our identity is going to somehow win the approval of others. And sometimes that even translates into trying to gain God's approval. We will never be able to gain God's approval through those things. But I want to tell you how we can gain God's approval. And in fact, we don't need to gain it. We already have gained his approval. Let's look at this first verse, and it's found in Hebrews chapter 10. And I love this. And it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, that's really talking about all of us here today, since we have, let's say that word, confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we didn't, you know, throw a goat or a sheep or a couple of turtle doves on the back of our car when we came to church today to sacrifice them in order to get God's approval. Who knows that Jesus Christ has already died on the cross for us? That can never be repeated. It was one sacrifice which was sufficient for all people for all time through what he has done there at Calvary. We don't need to see Jesus sacrificed again, because his sacrifice is absolutely and supremely and completely sufficient for us. And because of what Jesus Christ has done, no matter where we have found ourselves in life, no matter how badly we have, I can say this in work, this in church, stuffed up in life and done the wrong things, we can come with confidence into his presence. We can come with confidence into the holy place because of Jesus' blood. in the old days, I was trying to look this up this morning to see if it was actually true, and it was a bit of a legend, but they said when the priests used to walk into the holy place back in the old days, if they didn't have their stuff together enough, they might have dropped dead. And so at least the tradition was that they tied a rope around the leg of the priest. So if he dropped dead in the holy place, no one was going to be, they'd be too scared to try and pull him out. So they'd grab the rope and pull him out of the holy place so they wouldn't end up getting killed as well. We don't know that that's absolutely a true story. But sometimes we feel like that when we approach the holy place. But we need to know that Jesus Christ has already gone before us. So we need to deal with the issues of our conscience. If we could put this next slide up, that'd be great. We need to deal with the issues of our conscience. We've got three C's here today. You know, the devil will try to tell you an impact upon your conscience. The thing that will affect your confidence is your conscience. If you're going to be stepping out to do something, it could be in life generally, it could be in God. If you've ever gone for a job interview, you've been sitting for a school exam, I know this has happened to me, or maybe even coming to preach. And the devil's saying, oh, but you know what you did yesterday? You know what you did last night? You know what you did last week? And he starts to whisper into your ear the reasons why you can't be confident as you are going to be sitting that school exam the following week, or when you were going for the job interview, because you haven't stacked up in God's eyes. You are not good enough in God's eyes. Your conscience has been affected, and because of that, you lose your confidence. Am I the only one that feels that way, or do you feel that way sometimes too? Your confidence is shattered because of your conscience. You're thinking back, I've done this and this and this, and you probably said prayers of, God, I repent of that, God, I'm sorry, but you think, I haven't said enough sorries yet, I haven't said enough, Lord, forgive me kind of prayers enough, and when I've done enough, well then I probably will have earned just enough that's going to get me across the line that God might help me with my job interview. But who knows, it's not based on how many sorry prayers you pray, how many hours you spend trying to repent of your sins. Jesus Christ has already done that for us. Because Jesus has already died for us, we can go with confidence into the most holy place. Can I hear an amen? And so this is what this next verse says, just two verses on from the previous one. It says, let us draw near to God with sincere heart, with full assurance, a confidence in our heart that faith brings. And we have to have faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us, not faith in ourselves, not faith in how eloquent our prayers are, but faith in what Jesus Christ has done. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. And it is only because of what Jesus Christ has done in dying for us that our consciences can be genuinely and completely cleansed and freed from the condemnation of the devil and the words that he would be trying to speak into our hearts. Sometimes it's not just the devil's words, it's our words we speak in our heart. Who knows that's true? You ever have these little conversations in your head, oh no, you know, that and that, haven't really measured up? We need to have confidence in what Jesus Christ has done. He is the only one that can truly cleanse us from a guilty conscience. And as he cleanses us, we can be free to live all that God has called us to. And as we focus on Christ in the crisis, we know he is better than everything else that we could hope to depend on for our lives and our future. Here's a quote. It's hard to have confidence if we have a troubled conscience. Do you like that? It's hard to have confidence if you have a troubled conscience. The second one, and this one is also really important, is having a sense of community. Who knows that we need one another? This is the second C. Well, really, the third C. The first one is confidence. Who knows we need to have a community of people around us that are going to support and cheer us on? Last week, or the last few weeks, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we had an incredible presentation. We had a big surprise during announcement that we had a team of, you know, from here at Aspire come up and celebrate and congratulate us for the 100 pastors, senior pastors that have been through the Mentoring Matters program. Who was here for that day? What an incredible thing to have seen take place over these last 8 years that we have engaged with 100 senior pastors on a mentoring journey. But there's a part of the story that many of you will not be aware of. We started the journey for the group that was standing up the front a number of weeks ago in September last year. September last year, we started to engage with senior pastors across the state to become a part of this year's program. We had about 50 pastors showed up at a special lunch that we organized at the state conference. A whole lot of names ended up on a clipboard. I said, yay, how cool is that? We'll be able to go on our mission trip and come back and everyone signed up and it's good to go. How fantastic that is. And then we emailed them and we texted them and we said, fill in the application form. You've just got to put your name and your email. It's so easy to do. And then we texted them again. And I think we had two people that signed up out of the 50. And then we emailed them again and we called them. And still, we got another one. We had three. And then we're getting to the end of the year, December, and we like to get them all locked in from up to December so we can go on holidays, relax, knowing it's all good to go. And we're getting into January. We got four, and we had the three couples from our church. Who knows? That stuff can be really, really discouraging. It can be very discouraging. You feel like, why are we doing this? Emails and texts, don't they know what we want to do for them? Don't you understand the frustration? You know, we did get it across the line. In fact, we had the last one. I was at a birthday party, someone's 45th birthday party, and I bumped into one of the pastors who had not yet filled in his application form, and he looked really guilty. He said, oh, Pastor, I really meant to do it, and I've got it all filled in. I just haven't sent it in yet. Must be right time, right place. God connected us together. And so he filled. I said, can you get it in tomorrow at the latest? And we can just get you in to the mentoring program. And so the last one signed up 2 weeks before we had to go. And so we had the great celebration. All of them came along to the Sunday and it was fantastic. And we cheered them on. But you know, it was very, very discouraging. But you know, seeing the encouragement that have come from the words that were written on those two plaques that was given to us, it's been hugely encouraging. And even last Thursday night, a number of pastors said, oh, you don't know the difference it's made in our lives. I know sometimes it must be pretty hard, but it's made a massive difference. These are some pastors that were part of the program in previous years. And then during the week, Pastor John Lewis, some of you would have heard him speak on hope when he was here a number of weeks ago. Great audio if you want to listen to that. He says, I don't normally send cards. He says, I've already sent an email, but God put it on my heart to send a card to encourage you in the work that you are doing. Who knows? We need the encouragement of the community. We need to get together with one another. I'm just speaking about my story, but you've all got stories. Each and every one of us needs to be encouraged. If we could look at this next scripture, and this is what it says. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good works, love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Who knows that we need to encourage one another? Now, in what spaces do we encourage one another? You know, sometimes people come along to church on a Sunday and they arrive just after the first or second song's being sung and they just sneak in. And by the way, I'm not having a go at you if you're in that category. And just as the last song's being played, they've got on the exit. Haven't had to really chat with too many people, get in the car, out of the car park before it starts getting too busy, and they're off on their way home to have lunch or whatever else they're doing. So it's good, but who knows, there hasn't been a lot of encouraging one another going on in that space, yeah? We need to get together with one another. We need to do life together. Sometimes we get together just a couple, you know, just one-on-one and maybe get together in small groups. We have what we call life groups. We do life together. Why do we do life groups? Do we do it so that we can just fill in some time? We think, oh, gee, you haven't got enough to do on Wednesday, Thursday night. Why don't we have a life group so we can keep ourselves a bit more busy? No, we do that because we need to encourage one another. We need to pray for one another. We need to stir each other up. So what's going on in your life? We spoke about multiplication, didn't we? Maybe some of you chatted about that in your life groups about, well, what's in my life that I can see multiplied? What can I see grow in my life? What has God put in you that you can see multiple? So we get in the groups and we chat and talk. Well, what's in your life and what some of the challenges you've been facing? and we stir each other up. Someone says, look, I'm planning to do this. I'm doing this new course, and I'm going to step out and do this new, step into this new area of involvement. I say, man, that's awesome. Let's pray for you. Is that encouraging?
Yeah.
When you do that kind of stuff. And that's one of the reasons why we need to get together in groups and maybe even get together even outside of that to encourage one another. We live together in community, and it is because we do that we are going to grow in confidence. We will grow in confidence as we encourage one another. In fact, it says we need to do it even more. Don't give up on the habit of meeting as some people are doing, but even more and more as you see Jesus' return coming closer and closer. So that's the second one. We need community. We need each other. Is this true?
Yes.
I met with a few pastors too, just one-on-one just during the week, and we stir each other up and we share the stories and we encourage each other. Let's make sure we do that. So incredibly important. And we've got this third one, if we can put this on. It is, let's all say this, consistency. Who knows, consistency is pretty important in life. You know, one of the things that in talking with Dr. Abbey, who's coming tonight, I was just blown away just chatting with him. We went to a meeting in Frankston on Thursday night. I was just so blown away just chatting with him on the way there and the way back, because he's just talked about his journey in North India. And again, North India is one of the poorest states in India. Huge population, about 10% of India's population is in one state, which is just absolutely incredible. And he was saying that they were in that state with a group of workers going back around about 20 years ago. And in the first 10 years of the work that they were doing, guess how many people had been won, how many people had come to faith in God and had started to engage in the work of God? I'll tell you, 30 workers. So after 10 years of, excuse this expression, busting their guts, I don't know, working hard, blood, sweat and tears, prayers, pushing past opposition and challenges, and by the way, it's pretty hot there too, and they got terrible, you know, difficult circumstances. After 10 years, in fact, I think it was getting probably close to 15 years in the first part section of their journey, they had seen just, in fact, I think earlier they said there was just 20. But 30 workers was the result of all those years of blood, sweat and tears. You know what? He says, I thank God that we stayed here on the mission field. I thank God that we stayed here in Bihar State with all the difficult and challenging circumstances, because he says their breakthrough came, and in the last 3 years, the last 10 years, as I mentioned earlier, we went from 30 churches to now having over 2,000 churches and 4,500 workers trained. Consistency. Don't give up on your confidence. Keep going. Keep stepping up. Keep waking up in the morning, even though you don't feel like it, even though everything is screaming at you. What's the point? What's the use? It's not working. Keep going for it. Keep your confidence. Keep stepping out in that which God has called you to do and that which God has put in your heart to do in life. Because God cares not just about the spiritual things. He cares about the job you do. He cares about your marriage. He cares about your home. He cares about your kids. He cares about your bank account. He cares about every detail of your life. He even has counted the number of hairs on your head. He cares about you that much. Don't cast away your confidence. Keep going for it in that which God has put in your hands to do. So let's put this next scripture up. So do not throw away your confidence. Did you know the devil can't take your confidence from you? He can't take your call from you. But you can give it up. You can throw it away. It is your responsibility to keep your confidence. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need perseverance, or if you like, consistency, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. who knows, we have to keep moving forward in that which we are positioned to do in life. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. I remember when we started at Northcote, our very first church, we had 12 people. And I remember it was a bit of a season in the church had grown. We had 50%. Our church had grown by 50%. We now had 18 people. And we used to have a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening service. And we invited Teen Challenge. It's like a drug rehab kind of program that's run. It's a world global program. And we had a team from Teen Challenge come to Northcote Community Church. And they were going to be our special feature thing we were doing for the Sunday night program. And they came along, and a few of our people didn't make it that night because, you know, two services on a Sunday. My goodness, how committed do you want us to be? So they did, a bunch of our people didn't come. I don't know, we had about 12. But there was more people that came as our guests than we had in church that day. I'm thinking, is there any seat I can crawl under and hide? I'm thinking, man, this is terrible. And oh, look, you know, there's a few people away today and, oh, you know, you try to make all these excuses, but I wanted to go and hide someplace. I felt so embarrassed. But, you know, I'm glad we kept going for it for another Sunday and another Sunday and another Sunday and another Sunday. And even when we had the bad weeks and you woke up on Monday, you think, oh, man, should I fill in my resignation form? You know, is there some form to fill in? I don't know whether they got one of those, but how do I do this? We just kept going. Another week, next day, the next thing. And when you have times of discouragement and times when things haven't worked out so well, and it's like, oh no, do I have to deal with this? So those times, just wake up in the morning. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. Do not throw away your confidence. Stay true to what God has entrusted to you. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. You need to persevere. God will, by His grace, by the Holy Spirit, He'll give us what we need so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. Keep going for it. Don't allow the discouragement of life to invade your heart and your spirit. And that's why the Apostle Paul, well, the writer had written to the Hebrews of the day, the Jewish people of their day, because they were becoming discouraged. They were trying to work it out, you know, dealing with all their Jewish traditions, and they became discouraged, and he wanted them to grow in confidence in the call that God had for them. I'm going to finish with this quote, if we could just go on to the next screen. Stephen Furtick has this quote, and this is what it says: "The blessing ahead will always be greater than the battle behind." We've got 5 minutes. We could just, 5 minutes is good. Okay, we're going to do this. Three volunteers, quickly. So yeah, stand on the stage so everyone can see you. I'll move this out of the way. Over to here. Cool. Three volunteers. And so, Sadish, you can stand this way, face that way. That's my future. And Jason, you can just stay there just for now. Jason, you stand here. And so Jason, he represents my present. This is where I am now. And Sadish, he represents where I want to be. And as I'm journeying along, I keep trying to press forward to that which is ahead. And you know, I can become really discouraged because I keep looking at myself here and I'm thinking, man, I'm not cutting it. I'm not really getting what I need to be. And I can get super discouraged. I'm thinking, man, I keep trying, I keep doing my best, I'm doing all the things that I know, and I'm just not quite getting there. I make a few strides forward, but sometimes there's a few backward steps and I'm not getting there. And this is the season of growth that we're in. And we look at where we want to grow to and what it is that we are believing for. But you know, sometimes we do not need to look back. I know it says don't look back, but there is a time when the Bible does talk about looking back. So Pastor Ditter, he represents my past, where I used to be back at Northcote Community Church. And there was just 18 people in the church, and I was so terribly discouraged. So now I'm here thinking about, oh, I'm just not getting it. Actually, stand back a bit further, right back there. I'm thinking about, this is where I want to go. This is the growth. But when I look over my shoulder back to where I used to be, I can be filled with a real sense of gratitude. Thank you, God, for where you have brought me to where I am today. With gratitude, we look at the gap. We need to have confidence when we're in the gap. The gap between the past and now can be absolutely huge. And as we look, it says the blessing ahead is always greater than the battle behind. We look at what God has done. And we thank God with gratitude for all that he has brought to pass, that he has taken me all this distance, that I say, thank you, Jesus. When we're at Greensboro, I see Sue sitting there. You remember coming to Greensboro with Klaus and doing the drawings on the board? We probably had all of about 30 or 40 people there, and we were working so hard, faithfully serving God in what we knew to do. But who knows that we have continued to grow, and that gap, there's a huge gap between where I was and where I am now. But now as I look to the future, I know there is so much more blessing ahead than the battles that we've faced on the way, on the journey to get from here to now. Can I hear an amen? Let's give them a big thank you. And when we're in that season of the gap, let's not become discouraged. Let's not lose our confidence. But as we continue to persevere with God's grace, we shall see all those things fulfilled in our life that God has called and positioned us to. Who's excited about the future? Who's ready to step into the future with great confidence? Don't allow the devil to lie to you. Don't allow your confidence to be robbed and stolen from your life. Hold on to your confidence. Keep a clean conscience, not based on your deeds, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. Remember, we need one another. We need that sense of community that is going to keep us together and keep us encouraged. We can't do it alone. And then thirdly, consistency. Let's keep showing up. Let's keep walking the journey that God has called us to. And as we do, our confidence will remain secure and strong in all that which God has called and positioned us to do. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Bless God. God is good. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the incredible grace and favor that, Lord, is upon our lives. We thank you for the call. Father God, each and every one of us in this room has been called with a destiny, and with a real sense of your DNA being planted in our spirit and in our hearts. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We have your DNA in us. Lord God, you are calling and positioning so much in for us in our lives, in our future. And Lord, we want to lay hold of that. And Lord, we recognize today, Lord, that so many of us have had our confidence leak from our life, and we've given up on our confidence. We've lost our confidence. And Father God, today we pray, O Holy Spirit, that we may re-embrace the sense of confidence in who we are in you and all that you have positioned us both to do and to be, all that you have called us to. Father God, we lay hold of that in Jesus' name. We just pray there's just going to be a sense of Holy Spirit revelation just coming on hearts and lives. I am who you say I am. I'm going to step out in all that you have called me to in Jesus. Particularly if you're doing this for the first time or just reconnecting and reopening just your heart and the channels of communication back again with God. If you just sense that's where you're at, just lift your hand just for a moment so I can see it. I'd like to say a prayer for you this morning. Just across the congregation. Just lift your hand for a moment. Just say, yes, please include me in a prayer today. I want to know just your freedom. I want to know the future that you have called me to. You might be just sensing that your confidence has just been so shattered in life generally. Jesus Christ is the one that can reinstate that in your heart, in your spirit, for your life and your future. Any here today just sense that's a step? Thank you. Down the back. Others, just lift your hand just across the congregation. You just sense you need to just acknowledge that before God today. Thank you. Others today, just lift your hand wherever you are. Just say, yes, that's me. I need that. Thank you. Others today, just quickly, just lift your hand, and it's an acknowledgement under heaven before God. God will see your heart. of what you need today? Anyone else today? You just sense it's a step you need. I think there's a few people just wrestling here today. Just say, yes, I'm going to just take the step forward in God. I recognize my need of Him. I'm going to just press forward. I'm going to recognize His power to work in my life like no one else can do. Anyone else this morning? God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Bless God. Let's pray. Let's all stand. Let's just stand in God's presence today. Paul and Silas were in prison. They had stocks and chains around their feet, pinning them in their circumstances. But they had a confidence in God that if they could reach out to Him in prayer and praising and believing that God was going to bring a breakthrough, no matter what their circumstances were telling them, no matter what they were feeling, that then God would do something in their life and their future. And today, no matter what has gone on in your world, lay hold of Jesus. He's the one who can bring breakthrough to your life. Father God, I pray for each and every person that has raised their hand today. I thank you, Father God, that you have been stirring in their life. And today, we take authority over the lies and the torment of the enemy, and even the things that have invaded their heart and their spirit that would come to demoralize them and to discourage them and to fill them with fear and insecurity. We take authority over that in the name of Jesus, and we pray for just significant breakthrough for the road ahead. Lord, where there's been condemnation, just in affected an affected conscience, we pray in the name of Jesus that that would be cleansed, their conscience would be cleansed from every sense of condemnation, of every stain of sin. And Father God, we know that your blood is sufficient. It is sufficient. All that you have done at Calvary is sufficient to free our lives so that we can step into the future that you have called us to. Lord, just break off every chain, every burden over their lives. And just as they're reaching out to you in faith, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would come and reveal yourself to them by your Spirit. We pray that there would be a growing confidence. It's not based in just their ability and having done all the right things, but be founded in you, Lord Jesus. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. You are the hope of the world. And we pray, Lord, as you reveal yourself to them and as they place their confidence and trust in you, that you would lead them and guide them into the future that you have planned for the days ahead and even for eternity. Lord, cover them, we pray. And each person that is in your house today that may have just been struggling in these areas, may it be that they would discover and lay hold of that which you have come to bring to their hearts as we lay hold of our confidence in you. We pray for this in Jesus' name.